Beautiful people, welcome to another edition of Kelly and the Coach podcast. I'm Coach Mike McLeese. My co-host is
Kelly Corinne.
That's my daughter. And we got a special guest today. We have my son, John McLeese. Gonna be a real family affair. And Kelly and John gonna talk a little bit about some dimensions and some other wormhole type activities. But first, we want to talk a little bit about the NCAA, National Collegiate Athletic Association. And what I see is the hypocrisy of the NCAA, as well as some of the blatant discriminatory acts perpetrated by them. First of all, earlier this week, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider John Rothstein reported that the NCAA has officially added criteria for agents who wish to represent student athletes testing the waters for the NBA draft. Among the added criteria the agents must possess, number one is a bachelor's degree. They must be certified by the National Basketball Association Players Association for a minimum of 3 years. Take an in-person exam at the NCAA offices in Indianapolis and show 7 years of address history. And the thing that jumps out to me right away is possessing a college degree. We're going to get into this a little more a little bit later, but I still don't understand what possessing a college degree has to do with navigating the contracts of players and representing players, et cetera, and I'm gonna give you an example of that a little bit later. And to a lesser extent, the thing that jumped out to me was 7 years of address history. Now this sounds and smells real fishy. Prior to, or in the past, if a student athlete entered his name into the NBA draft, he had a certain amount of time to explore whether or not he wanted to stay into the draft to maintain his college eligibility. And then if he felt he wasn't going to get drafted high enough or whatever, he could take his name out and still maintain his college eligibility. Now, last year, they had a study, and it was led by Condoleezza Rice, and they relaxed a lot of the rules about entering the draft, where they said that a player could consult with an agent and retain the option to return to college and keep his eligibility. Okay. Now, the issue I have with that is 56% of Division I men's basketball players are African American.
Okay.
And that includes all the HBCUs, et cetera. All right.
Say that statistic one more time.
56%.
I would have thought it had been more.
Okay.
All right?
But what you're looking at is the power conferences that may have, I'll say, 8 of their 15 scholarship players or maybe even 10 mm-hmm. of the power conferences are African American. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, but here's the issue. Here's the issue I have with that is you're saying that these kids can look at the NBA, and if they stick to the NBA, if they enter their name in the draft, they lose their eligibility.
Okay.
And this is not across the board for all NCAA student athletes.
Okay.
It's only for basketball
mm-hmm.
and football.
Okay.
But the majority of the basketball and football players are what?
African
American. Mm-hmm. People of color. All mm-hmm. right. Hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball players. They can enter the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like their draft position, they can take their, they can come out and still be
eligible to play at their school.
At their particular school. And I'm going to give you an example.
That is very interesting.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about, the hypocrisy of the NCAA in that sense. Okay, and I'm going to get back to this agent thing in a minute, how they changed the rules on this agent situation. But let's take a student athlete like Diamond Stone. Diamond Stone was a highly recruited basketball player that attended the University of Maryland. He played for 1 year. He was a big kid, about 6'11", 7 foot or whatever. And he was a projected can't-miss NBA player. Mm-hmm. Okay? He left early, and a lot of people felt that he got bad advice by leaving early. And he ended up, I think, maybe either not getting drafted or drafted in the second round anyway. He was the 40th player. He got drafted. He was the 40th player picked in the NCAA. Diamond Stone, he's the 40th player picked, and obviously goes to the G League and does not sign the big-time contract and, you know, and get paid. Okay? However, if, let's just say, John ended up playing hockey for the University of Minnesota, okay, and John gets drafted the New York Islanders.
Okay.
Hockey league. So let's say John gets drafted, okay, and he doesn't like his position in the draft. John can go back to the University of Minnesota or wherever it was he was playing and still maintain his eligibility. Unfortunately for Diamond Stone, who was the 40th player pick, he couldn't go back to the University of Maryland.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because of the rule. Mm-hmm. Now, we know, my point is, if you're going to do these things, you need to do it across the board.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, there's also a thing called name and likeness that the NCAA has, where they are now allowing these schools to make money off of the likeness and the name of that particular student athlete.
Don't get me started on that.
Okay. Now, here's my point. Okay. Let's take the boy that got drafted from Duke, number one, Zion.
Yeah,
okay?
Zion.
All right. When Zion came in, everybody knew he was one and done. He was going on to the next level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But Zion couldn't sign a contract with, say, Jordan Brand, which is who he's with now, for his shoes and apparel and whatnot. He couldn't sign and make that money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because of amateurism.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But check this out.
Explain amateurism, please.
Amateurism is just that if you get paid, you become a pro.
Okay.
Okay. So he couldn't make any money off of his name and his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. But the swimmers can participate in, say, the Olympics or various other competitive sports and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
If they win in medals, et cetera, et cetera. Let's take Katie Ledecky, local girl, outstanding swimmer, okay? She can get paid.
Right.
And still go back to Stanford at the end of the year and swim for the Stanford team and maintain her eligibility.
It is, to me, absolutely disgusting that these players, I mean, we're talking multi-million dollar programs. They are making money off these players. All they get is a free education, which, don't get me wrong, that's awesome. But these guys have whole families that they are supporting in the whole bit. Their own kids. Something could happen to them and they don't go to the league. Haven't you know?
Right.
They could go be at a party,
right.
Shot dead or anything,
right.
And their family is out of luck. I think it's ridiculous that they do not get paid. And when I say don't get paid, we know they get paid.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you saw that documentary about the bag man.
Oh, I didn't
Did you
have
see
to see
that?
The documentary. I lived it.
I can't remember. what it.
Well,
it was on ESPN.
Here's
but,
one for you. Look up an old movie called Blue Chips.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Shaq was in it. Nick Nolte was the star.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm familiar.
All right, that's a good one. All right. So anyway, going back to this NCAA thing with the rule change for the agents, okay? Now, do you guys know who Rich Paul is?
No.
Okay. Rich Paul, when they changed this rule, when they came up with this rule with this new additional criteria, they immediately named it the Rich Paul Rule.
Okay.
Okay? Reason being, is Rich Paul is a 37-year-old African-American young man who actually is the epitome of the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
Started out his career selling throwback jerseys out of the back trunk of his car. Mm-hmm. Right? He is now worth $20 million. Mm. Okay? He's a friend of LeBron's. I'm a name. He has 20 basketball players that he represents. Okay? LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, John Wall, Draymond Green, just to name five.
Okay.
Okay?
Some heavy hitters.
Exactly. He formed this group, this organization called Clutch Sports Group. Now, if you take away James and every other all-star that's on his client roster, he had $70 million, $70 million plus dollars guaranteed for his other players, players such as Eric Bledsoe, Tristan Thompson, Jordan Clark, people other than Tristan Thompson. I don't even know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But my point is, here's a kid who is a role model for other young African-American men or women who could aspire to become a sports agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they come out with this new rule now to say, got to have a degree. This boy don't have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not going to affect him because he's
right. He's already established.
But now you move the goalposts again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. You're setting up this criteria, which I think is just ridiculous because he is a cat that you want to aspire to be and to become. You know, he has become successful. He's probably the most powerful sports agent in basketball, for sure, maybe of all sports agent, at 37 years old.
So you're saying to be a sports agent, the NCAA now says you have to have a degree?
Among other things, yes.
That is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. That's like, because I'm thinking some like Gestapo, like how is that your,
yeah, so
how
like,
are you getting
question.
Into that?
So here's the question, playing okay. devil's advocate.
Okay.
What's the reason for this?
Playing
devil's advocate.
I'm going to give you the reason. They justified it because they are saying that...
Probably you scammed.
No. They're saying that if you have a degree, it's supposed to give you a better sense of ethics, of being ethically prudent, if you
okay.
will. Okay.
Because no unethical person has ever had a degree.
Exactly. And here, and that's why I'm talking about the hypocrisy, because they did this big investigation last year with the shoe companies, and they found one of the coaches, Sean Miller, who's a coach at the University of Arizona, on tape offering money to a particular player. He has not been suspended, or they haven't put any sanctions on the University of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's a double standard, and it needs to be looked at. Now, talk about double standards, okay? These coaches now are complaining about the transfer of students.
Mm-hmm.
This transfer thing has gotten out of control. It's gotten out of hand. I was listening to Tubby Smith, who is an African-American head coach on mm-hmm. college level, and he was crying and bitching and moaning because it transfers. But you got coaches that leave a school, they go into the home and recruit a young man, and let's keep it real, none of these kids are going to these schools because of the school and because of the educational aspect of it.
Right.
They go because they like that coach
mm-hmm.
and an opportunity to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you go in as a head coach and you recruit this kid, and the very next year you have a better opportunity as the head coach to move on to another school and make more money. And I'm all about upward mobility. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Okay. I'm just saying, let's keep it real. Let's keep it across the board. Y'all don't want the kid to transfer. If he transfer, he got to sit out a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I could transfer from coaching at Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I have an opportunity to move on to the University of Maryland,
mm-hmm.
which is a higher level basketball program.
Right,
and I done recruited you to come and you come to play for me, not so much to go to Howard, which is a great institution because both of y'all attended there.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? But my point is the fact that I can leave, but you can't.
Right,
you know. Without any, I mean, you even got schools leaving conferences. University of Maryland. Let's say you come, you recruited to go to the University of Maryland to play in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
But University of Maryland said, now we ain't playing the ACC no more. We're going to move on to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For whatever reason, financially, whatever. My point is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I just think that something has to be done. It has to be looked at because it's getting out of hand. You know, and my point that I was talking about is these coaches. Tubby was on the air bitching and moaning about, you know, these kids transferring. But it's nothing for the coach or the AD or the school to move, and there's no penalties involved in that particular situation. Mm-hmm. So that's my take for the day on the hypocrisy of the NCAA. We're gonna go into more detail with this. I was talking to one of my friends today who is an assistant commissioner in one of these conferences. I'm not going to call his name because I don't want to put him on the spot. But he and I were talking about the hypocrisy of this and where it's going. And again, my thing is, it's just like when they came down on all of a sudden, players been getting bags for years.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
But all of a sudden, when that money got big,
mm-hmm.
and the people that were getting the money was a lot of these young assistant coaches and these AAU coaches who are people of color.
Mm-hmm.
When they started getting this money, all of a sudden, now we got the FBI involved.
Oh, right.
You know,
of course.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. So I'm just saying, you know, that's my take on it for the day. From a coaching standpoint, you know, and I've been in that business, you know, I fed my family doing this thing for years, but it just needs to be cleaned up a little bit, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We got to make it across the board. You know, if a student athlete can make some money off of his likeness, you know,
they need to get
let
paid.
Let them do it. They need to get
they
paid.
Need to get
but,
paid.
But the people that's bitching about kids getting paid are the people who don't want to pay these basketball and football players.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And those are the schools that make the money. Now, the football controls it a little differently than basketball.
Okay.
Basketball is pretty much the largest revenue making sport for the NCAA because the conferences in football control most of the money
mm-hmm.
that they make. So they can't mess with, I'm talking about the NCAA,
mm-hmm.
they can't really come down on football the way they can on basketball. But this new thing with these agents, you know, and I'm going to delve into this a little more because I'm going to do a little more research on it because it just came out last week.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Just what can be done and what you know, how it's affecting other young cats who want to be agents, male and female, and where they can go with that. But moving right along. We got other topics that we want to talk about today. And one of the things that speaking of NCAA, was I saw this thing where this young guy who was a quarterback, junior quarterback at Georgia State University. And tell you what his name is in 1 second. Kelly, you got his name there?
Hold on.
Okay, so Shai, Shai, Wirtz, Wirtz, is a Georgia State University quarterback.
Correction, Georgia Southern.
He was a junior, starting quarterback. And on July 31st, he was in Clinton, South Carolina, and police pulled him over for speeding. That's what they say. They actually pulled him over for driving while being black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they pulled him over, and they bring him out of the car and they handcuff him. And one of the police officers says to him, what is this white substance on the hood of your car? His response was bird.
Excrement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He used bird SH. Okay. All right. The guy said, No, it's not. He said, yes, it is. He said, I just tried to clean it off the other day when I was washing my car. Couldn't get it off. He said, I tested it. This was a police officer. He said, I tested it. He said, it's not. It turned pink. And the dude said, I promise you that it was not what you said. He said, it was cocaine. He said, I'm telling you now, it was cocaine.
Okay.
Like you said, Kelly, why would he have cocaine on the hood of his car?
Yeah, that's, you know, kind of silly.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Long story short, they arrested the young man. He was charged with possession as well as speeding. They supposedly sent the stuff, the cocaine, alleged cocaine
substance
off for testing. In the meantime, he was suspended from all team activities by Georgia State University. And I guess a couple weeks later, the substance came back that it was not cocaine and was actually bird poop,
mm-hmm.
like the young man said. So, you know, the school, they were happy. They say they were happy. They reinstated them, yada, yada, yada. Okay, but my point is, you know, none of this makes sense. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, but none of this makes sense as to why would he be driving that street, even if he was speeding, why would he have cocaine?
On the hood of his car.
On the hood of his
car. I thought it was so messed up because, first of all, if he's in college, he probably doesn't have a personal garage. I'm sure I don't know where he's living. Maybe he's living in dorm housing or whatever. But your car could be anywhere. It could be in a parking lot. It could be in an apartment garage or anything. Even if it is cocaine, cocaine was not found inside the car. You're gonna arrest him? Like, I just felt like I thought that was ridiculous. I thought that was ridiculous. And I thought it was ridiculous that this young man was suspended from game activities when it hadn't been determined that he was guilty of having a controlled substance on his personal property. I mean, we're in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty. Suspend him or expel him after the fact. You know, I mean, luckily this wasn't during the season. Because if had this happened during the season, probably he could have missed a game.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my thing with the stop. Now, again, you know, first time on the show, you listeners don't know me. I've, I worked in law enforcement for over a decade, worked as a security guard, a patrol officer, worked as SWAT, watch commander for a police department, worked as a special agent for a federal agency. And I'm looking at this stop. So apparently they targeted him, and again I'm doing air quotes, for speeding. And he didn't stop, and he put his hazard lights on and kept on driving. Now we'll come back to that in a minute. But they pulled him over, and immediately three officers were out there. Now watching the video, they pulled him out of the car, had him on the back of the car, and then started talking to him, and then put him in handcuffs and put him in the back of the patrol vehicle, and then started searching his car. Now I didn't hear the audio in that, but I'm just trying to figure, like, I'm trying to understand, like, what was the probable cause and putting him in the back of the car to then do a search, pull his stuff out of his car and everything else. But then going back to the testing thing, so you officers are assigned these NIC kits, which are these narcotic identification kits. And basically you can put an unknown substance in it, crack the vial, shake it up, and then whatever color it comes is what it is. So the question that I had was, just like y'all were asking, what makes you test the hard white substance on a hood of somebody you just pulled over for speeding? He's obviously going fast. If it's cocaine on the car, that would have blown off. In this scenario, as an officer, when you pull somebody over, what is more likely, without asking any question, that the substance on the car is bird doo-doo or the substance on the car is dried up cocaine that him and his boys were doing cocaine on the hood
of the car. That doesn't
make sense to me. But for whatever reason, the officer tested it and he said that it came up pink or whatever. And then they arrested him. And I guess the probable cause for their arrest was, you know, tested positive for the NIC kit. But it's still like, if I'm on scene and for whatever reason one of my guys decides to test the white substance on it and it pops, I'm going to do another test. I'm going to send that out. I'm going to try to follow up with it for something else. But that's the part that I don't understand. And there's more I want to talk about, but I'll open it up. Let y'all chime in a little bit.
Well, you know, when I saw this, the first thing I thought back to is fortunately for us with social media now, you get to see all these things.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause this stuff been going on for years.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I'm going to give you an example. What happened to me, I was young, fresh out of college, and I had a 1973 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. Couldn't tell me nothing. I was driving through Rock Creek Park one evening. It was dark. I don't know where I was going. But I was pulled over, and the officer immediately came to the car and unsnapped his gun. Okay? And he said to me, he said, you know why I pulled you over? I said, no, officer, I don't. I'm always be polite and give him this officer thing.
And hey, that's the stupidest thing.
Why you pull me over?
Why don't you just tell me? Yeah. Just tell me. I don't know. So like,
I never said that.
That's dumb.
So he said he pulled me over for speeding. Now, anybody from the D.C. metropolitan area know you cannot speed through Rock Creek Park.
Right.
Because it's a narrow,
too windy,
and it's windy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay, I go along with it, and you know I'm polite because I'm seriously fearing for my life at this particular point because it's dark, ain't nobody out there but me and him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's obviously scared. I guess he think I'm a drug dealer. I'm a young dude with a Cadillac. Mm-hmm. Okay. So long story short, he gives me a ticket, and you know that was just a classic example of driving while black.
Well, the
Ferguson effect was coined in by the chief of police in St. Louis around 2014 after Michael Brown's shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And when he spoke of the Ferguson effect, what he was talking about was the effect that officers have where they basically act a little bit more hesitant in situations where they feel like they might get more scrutiny. And then he also attributed to a rise in crime because as officers become more hesitant not to act, and crime rises, and it just becomes this whole thing.
Right.
So the reason I bring that up is because the Ferguson effect, in my opinion, hits on both ends. Officers are more hesitant, but if you listen to the video, this guy said, I didn't want to pull over because I don't know if you've seen what's been going on in the TV and in the media. So I didn't want to pull over in the dark. I want to go to this other area.
And that's his right to do that.
And that's his right to do
that. Yeah, you don't have to pull over somewhere you don't feel safe.
Right, but look at the spiral that it has. Like, so the officer throws his lights on. He doesn't want to stop. This guy continues to go. He puts his hazard lights on. So the problem with the Ferguson effect when referencing to us as black males mm-hmm. driving is that it creates a spiral. The officer then throws his lights on. The person driving then doesn't want to pull over because everything else is happening. He keeps going. Now the officer's like, oh, you're not stopping. So now he's calling in for backup saying, oh, he's trying to run or something like that. And on top of it, now he's getting more and more amped up. Then if the stop then does, you know, eventually does happen, then we don't know what's going to happen at that point. The officer's already amped up because he feels like he hasn't been, because the guy didn't stop. He doesn't know if he was trying to run. So now he's like, well, why is he trying to run? Why didn't he pull over? So let me start looking to trying to find something. Oh, there's a white substance. You see where
that's still a reach, though. I totally get what you're saying, and I can see how that would work. But that's a reach.
But that's the unfortunate situation that we're in today. Especially being African-American and African-American men.
Right.
Okay? Because you're put in that position as to what should I do? Should I pull over here and maybe this is the last time I pull over?
Right.
Or should I keep going and now they think that I'm trying to get away, you know?
I get what you're saying.
It's catch 22. You're rocking the hard place.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But that's still his right to pull over where he thinks it is, where he feels safe.
It's your right to sit in a Starbucks and have a conversation, have a business meeting, but that ain't mean that somebody ain't going to kick you out.
Exactly.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
You know, it's all about, and that's the thing, especially when talking about laws and dealing with police. The big thing with dealing with law enforcement after these situations is the quote-unquote reasonable officer standard. What would a reasonable officer do in that situation? And in that, it's like, okay, you're in hindsight looking at it, and there's a whole lot of ifs. There's a whole lot of things that go into play. Like, it's not like, what would a reasonable person do? It's what a reasonable officer. So a reasonable officer might be amped up because this guy didn't pull over, but you're not looking at why the guy didn't pull over.
Right.
Too, especially from law enforcement, somebody with a security clearance. Like, okay, yeah, you're supposed to comply, and this guy complied, but what ended up happening? He still got arrested.
Right.
Now they're going through the expunging process.
Right.
But let's say he's going on for a security clearance later. He still got listed.
Yeah.
And what does that prove? Now you gotta talk about that. Right. You gotta explain it, exactly. Background check and all this other stuff, just because this guy was driving. So it's one of those things where it's like, yes, I understand that you have to comply, but by the same token, the argument that I get into sometimes is, why is the onus so much on us when you have an officer, and I can speak from experience, who go through training to become an officer, who go through in-service yearly through this. You're supposed to go through these training and stay up on your stuff in legality, but yet the onus is on me to be the calm one, me to be the one that's right. understanding, right. you know, as a guy in the car, in the driver's seat. It's just, it's a tough situation. It's a tough situation.
It is. Know? It's a no-win situation, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you
yeah, know? Yeah.
So anyway, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Before we move on to what you have there, Kelly, your what is it?
I don't know.
Another dimension, the Twilight Zone. Before we get into the Twilight Zone, I want to touch on one other thing. Going back to this NCAA that I had in my notes that I forgot to mention, and we're talking about hypocrisy and the problem that I think the NCAA has with black men. Okay. Back in 1967, I don't know if you guys are aware, but do you know from 1967 to 1975, you were not allowed to dunk in the NCAA?
I did know that. Yeah.
Do you know why?
Oh, I have a theory.
Okay, what's the theory?
Because black people can dunk. I'm sorry, I'm just going to make it a joke. Because black people would dunk. And white people probably can shoot, so maybe they want people to hit threes to give the white guy.
There were no threes back then.
Oh, okay.
But you're in the right church, wrong pew, okay? And what I mean by the right church, wrong pew, you're right, but that was the Lew Alcindor, who is now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar rule.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was Kareem, who, and I'm going to say Lew Alcindor, who was Lew Alcindor at that particular time, was right. so dominant,
mm-hmm.
was so dominant, they put the rule in mm-hmm. to try to level the playing field.
Okay. I knew something like that.
Which actually helped Kareem develop the sky hook, mm-hmm. you know, and he's still one of the 50 greatest players of all time. Some people
he's like top three. Yeah, he is. Points mage.
He's number one. No doubt about it. And just
Karl Malone's too. Just another
quick rule change. When you shoot a free throw,
mm-hmm.
and I know a lot of my basketball people who listen to this don't know this one. When you shoot a free throw, you can't cross the free throw line. If you're the shooter, you cannot cross the free throw line
right.
until the ball hits the rim.
Yeah.
Okay?
I knew that.
The reason that rule was put in, do you, any of you know?
Oh, was it something to do with rebounds?
Nope.
Okay, no. What?
Okay. Because Wilt Chamberlain, when he was in high school,
mm-hmm.
okay, and Wilt couldn't shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was in high school,
he could jump so quick.
What he would do is he would toss the ball
uh-huh.
towards the basket,
uh-huh.
take off, catch it, and dunk.
Dunk it, okay.
And so they say, oh, we got to change this rule here, you know, because he is slim. It's a disadvantage to everyone else,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, of course, you know, the 3-second lane was widened because of Wilt and Bill Russell. And a lot of rule changes, you know, the NCAA implemented to kind of level the playing field, but it was basically us who, you know,
dominating
caused those rules to be changed.
I want to take a quick political aside, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay,
so the interesting thing, like off of what you said, is like when in politics, when we're talking about equality and trying to make things equal, a lot of times us on the liberal side are talking about bringing every people up to that. But other people look at it as something that's taking away. When they look at equality or leveling the playing field, they try to take away as mm-hmm. opposed to bringing up. What mm-hmm. we try to bring up. And I think that's where, when we talk about equality, they're looking at it from their perspective of, oh, you're trying to take something away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we're not mm-hmm. trying to take anything away from you. We're just trying to make sure that everybody else is equal and on the same playing field.
Good point.
Anyway,
good
I just
point.
Wanted to...
Good point.
Let me take a break.
Okay. Okay, so next topic is the Twilight Zone.
The week before last, we talked about the man from Tored and being able to jump from different dimensions and that whole spiel. So I was talking to my brother. I was talking to Jay. And we were discussing the Mandela effect. So, Jay, you want to talk about what the Mandela effect is? Because I'll mess it up.
Okay. So, basically, the Mandela effect was, it was named after Nelson Mandela. And the reason why it was named after him is because in his release, when he got released in 1990, a whole lot of people were coming out. I was like, wait a second, I thought he was dead. And they, like, large swaths of people across the country, across the world, remember vividly Nelson Mandela dying in prison and there being a huge ceremony and people giving speeches and having his casket go through the street and all this other stuff. And everybody seems to be remembering the exact same story in the exact same way. So that's when the whole thing about the Mandela effect was coined. And some examples of the Mandela effect, I took some notes. So it's like, all right, let me ask you this. The peanut butter, is it Jif or Jiffy? Peanut butter.
Jif.
Jif. Right, it is Jif. A lot of people think it's Jiffy.
Yeah.
But you have to explain. Okay, so you didn't explain the part with the dimensions and the Mandela effect.
Okay, but see, there's a couple different theories, and one of the theories is that there are parallel universes, and the Mandela effect is an example of parallel dimensions where people are remembering. Or they have basically false memories of another dimension where in this dimension
he did die in this one, the 80s.
And so like the one of the theories is that there was a nuclear experiment which kind of like ripped a small tear between the two universes, and that's why certain people are remembering this universe and not remembering. So it's not like a complete transfer, but they're just remembering stuff from the other one because of this tear or what have you.
So. But I do have a few Mandela effect. Okay, so Jay, do you remember the books, the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstein? Do you remember the books, the Berenstein Bears?
I remember the Berenstein Bears. I remember the Berenstein Bears,
but here's my theory behind the Berenstein Bears. Okay, so if you remember the Berenstein Bears, it's not the Berenstein Bears. It's the Berenstain Bears. S-T-Baren-S-T-A-I-N. Okay. I remember the Berenstein Bears, but here's my theory with that, why I remember the Berenstein Bears. I couldn't freaking read. When I had these books, my mommy probably read the books to me and I couldn't read. So I think people probably heard Berenstein and then this person heard Berenstein because I know daggone well I could not read books.
I remember the Berenstein Bears. Okay. I remember the letters. Berenstein.
See, I don't. I remember seeing it spelled as Berenstain, but I did say Berenstein. Mm-hmm. Another one is, okay, you probably don't. Do you remember? You probably do remember the movie. Kazam?
I remember Shazam.
Was it Shazam or Kazam?
No, it's Kazam. Shaq played
the genie.
I remember the movie being called Shazam.
I remember the movie being called Shazam too, but I remember Shaq being in it. So this is the Mandela effect, guys, that actually people remember that it was Sinbad paying a genie and they had a picture of the artwork and the whole bit. My boyfriend swears up and down it was Sinbad, and he remembers asking his dad, take me to rent this movie. I want to see this movie. I don't remember any movie with Sinbad. And I was a Sinbad fan. I loved it. My favorite movie used to be House Guest. But I do remember Shaq being in it. But I did think it was called Shazam. Because then when they came out with this new Shazam, I thought it was a remake of the Shaq movie.
Yeah. I definitely remember Shaq being in it, but I remember it being Shazam and not Kazam. I remember Curious George having a tail.
I do remember Curious George having a tail.
But apparently he doesn't have a tail.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. That's a Mandela effect. Everybody remembers him with a tail.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this whole thing is supposed to be proof of parallel universes and parallel dimensions and everything. And there's scientific theory that says that there are parallel universes. It could be argued, like, and I have my theory as to what happened to your boy from Tourette, like what happened.
Oh, right. Yeah. Speak on that.
Okay.
Tourette.
So everything in this universe is all, we all started from the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Big Bang, basically everything in this universe all made up of the same elements.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're a parallel universe, then it stands to reason that, that in that universe, everything is made of those elements.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go from this universe to another universe, you're not made of the same elements from that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will be torn apart at a molecular level.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into another universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened to your boy. That's why he disappeared.
Okay. I buy that.
Follow that?
Yep,
coach?
Yeah. Okay. All
right. Interesting. Now, speaking on that, I came up. Now, this is what I want to do at the end of every episode, besides our recommendations. I want to ask a question, and hopefully we can get the listeners involved where they could ask us questions that, you know, if they're interested in our lives or what we have to say, you know, that. But I actually pulled this from one of my favorite podcasts, Moms and Murders. And what their question was, and I'm going to pose it to you. If you have the opportunity to definitively answer any conspiracy of your choosing, which one would it be? And what I mean is, like, an example could be whether or not is the multiverse theory true? Are there many different multiverses, or is it, you know, parallel? Is there only two, or is it parallel universes? Who shot Jimmy Hoffa? You would actually know who shot Jimmy Hoffa. What happened to Jimmy Hoffa? What happened to whatever? Like, anything that you could find an answer to, what would it be? So, Daddy, what would yours be?
Well, I had a couple of them, to be honest with you. Number one, I want to know, was the government involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy?
Okay.
Or basically, who was behind the assassination
mm-hmm.
of John F. Kennedy? And my other one was MLK. Did James Earl Ray,
mm-hmm.
act alone
mm-hmm.
in his assassination of MLK? Did he do it? I mean, we only know if James Earl Ray was the one who really shot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that those are my two. I mean, I could go on and on. You know, the moon landing. You know, the whole.
Night. We know that was a farce. We know.
Let's not do that.
Oh, we can talk about that next week, because I have whole theories on how that's a farce, like with substantive evidence. But anyway,
okay.
Mine, and I'm purposely jumping ahead of you, Jay. Mine would be, is the multiverse theories real? Another one, who shot Biggie? I know who shot Tupac. Okay, I know who shot Tupac, but I don't know. Well, it was allegedly. My theory is that it was that that gang guy that was in the red that was trying to shoot Shug. But anyway, it was like a couple, it was a whole documentary.
Right.
Yeah. So, that, and since I was talking about dimensions, Jay, did you know Daddy saw into another dimension?
Okay. Speak on that.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, one of the theories, cause me and my dad talked about this before, I gave the example of our ghost reel. I already know ghost reel, so that wouldn't be my particular choosing. The reason why I know ghosts are real, and you guys can think I'm crazy or whatever, I don't care. My granddad saw a ghost, told my dad about it, and I know my granddad. My granddad is not a liar. Like, he's not a jokester type, from what I remember, and he died when I was very young. I just believe that he saw a ghost. So I'm like, okay, that's all the proof that I need that there was a ghost. Daddy says that he saw a ghost upstairs, which this house has had some paranormal activity. But Daddy saw a ghost upstairs. Tell the story, Daddy, because this is like so crazy.
If I can remember the story, okay. All right. I have a full-length mirror near my closet. And I was in my room, and I was looking, or I thought I was looking, and it was dark in the room. I hadn't turned the lights on, and I thought I was looking in the mirror, and I saw three people kneeling down, and I thought they were outside, because where the mirror is located is near a window.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the window, and I thought they were closer to the house. And I went to the window, and then I realized that when I looked out the window, I couldn't see area where I saw these cats kneeling down.
And here's the thing with that, because you guys don't know how our house is set up or how their house is set up. It would have been impossible for him to see people outside because he's upstairs.
Right.
And it just, the physics of it made that impossible, pretty much.
Yeah. So, what can I say? I mean, I looked outside and I knew then that, heck, I've seen a ghost.
And here's the thing.
It was no way that those cats were that close to the house. I couldn't see under, you know how the house is made.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't see under that particular part of the house where they were supposedly been kneeling down.
No, when Daddy told me this, I knew, oh no, you didn't see a ghost. You saw into another dimension because mirrors are pathways into other dimensions.
Right.
Allegedly,
right.
My conspiracy, allegedly, shout out to Rich Lux. But that's how mirrors are. Like, mirrors are notorious for being able to see into other dimensions.
And what made me look out the window was because when I realized that I was looking in the mirror, I looked behind me to see if these people were behind me, but they were kneeling down near the water meter that's outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just weird. And I called your mother to come upstairs because I wanted to see if she saw it too. Of course she didn't even come upstairs. You know, what can I say? That's it. So
okay, what was yours, BJ?
First of all, you know, have you heard there's a new theory that that it was a Secret Service agent that shot JFK by mistake? That because of if you watch the video, apparently the thought is that when Lee Harvey Oswald was shot, it startled the agent who had a Uzi, and that's what hit him because he's at the right angle, like the whole grassy knoll theory.
Yeah,
he's at the right angle that bullet is what actually hit him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. You should check it out. All right, so my conspiracy would be Area 51. I want to know what's going on in Area 51. I like it's undoubtedly.
Is that Roswell?
Roswell, New Mexico exists. There is a base called Area 51
in Roswell,
highly classified.
That, yeah, where the aliens are.
Yeah,
okay.
Supposedly where the aliens are. Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, and the thing about the reason why I picked that is because there is an Area 51.
Right.
Like we just don't know what's there.
Right.
They probably do experiments for. That's where like the stealth bomber was probably developed and stuff like that. So you know the latest weapons technology and everything. And if there was a encounter with an extraterrestrial or something, that's the place it would go.
Okay.
So that would be my theory as to like where it is. And I'm not a Bernie bro, but Bernie said that he gonna let us know about aliens.
I heard that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's another topic for another day.
So I have two picks on recommendations. One, and you should write these down, Jay. One. The first one was on Netflix. It's a Netflix movie called American Hangman starring Donald Sutherland. It is about, I guess, okay.
Donald.
He's the father. Yeah. It was Donald Sutherland. So he plays a judge and a person. I'm not going to get into it, but a person abducts Donald Sutherland's character and another individual, and pretty much the person alleges that Donald Sutherland wrongfully convicted a man to death, and for that he is putting him on trial. But the trial is going to be, the jury is the public, and
he's
live streaming it. So it was really good.
So Netflix.
On Netflix. My second pick is Another Life on Netflix. That is a sci-fi television show starring Kate Sackhoff. Kate Sackhoff, and she is famous for
Battlestar Galactica.
for my Office fans, you get the reference. But she's starring in that. It's really good. A lot of drama. And here's the thing with that. I mean, you guys watch it, you know, if you so choose to. But I saw on YouTube there was a video that they may be canceling this show. And Netflix, I don't know what you guys are doing, because you canceled my favorite friggin' show that you ever made, which was the OA. I don't know why you wouldn't bring the OA back for season 3, but you're going to bring back 13 Reasons Why for a season 3. Boo. Get it together over there, Netflix. Okay, so those are my two picks. Does anybody have any other recommendations?
Nah, I'm good.
Jay?
Just off the trailer alone, Woo Assassins.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, it looks good. Basically, it's from the same people that created The Raid. So if you got any of you action martial arts fans out there, the same people that created The Raid are doing this show where one of the guys from The Raid is in it, but he gets superpowers. And this dude already seems like he has superpowers just from The Raid. The trailer looks amazing. I can't wait to watch it.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah. So everything we discussed, I will try to link in the show notes if you want to get more information on the Mandela Effect or the story that we covered. All that stuff I'll definitely link in the show notes. And join our... Do we have a Facebook?
We have a Facebook page. Yes, sir.
Kelly and the Coach on Facebook. I don't know if we should create a group, because you can have a group. I don't know. I'll think about that later.
Okay. You can also reach us at Gmail. Kelly and the Coach, all one word, KellieAnd, the Coach, COACH, @gmail.com. Give us your thoughts, your feedback, any topics you want us to discuss. You know, I always say, I say the things that you all thinking anyway. So give us a shout out. Your feedback is welcome. And as I always say, you guys stay safe and do you.
See you later. Next time.